Changing minds one thought at a time.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Changing Minds Online Show. How are you doing today, Jessica?
I'm doing awesome, thank you. You know, today's a really big day. I have completed my move to New Jersey. I am officially back to being a Jersey girl. I just was shy of the 10-year mark of being a New Yorker. You know, they say 10 years and you're in New York, you're a New Yorker. And in May 21st, it would have been my 10-year anniversary. But I'm back to being a Jersey girl. I am super excited about tonight's call. You know, not only are we going, you know, am I back at my home roots, but we're also talking about a topic that really was really important to me and played a big part in my younger years. So I'm excited to get, you know, our audience on the call tonight and just really talk about something that's really important. How are you doing, Akina?
I am great. And I agree, this is a topic that touched my life as well. And I am not going to leave the audience in any more suspense here. So our guest today is a coach and founder of SA Life, and she is a champion against the bullying epidemic. And tonight we're going to be talking about trusting yourself can stop the bullying epidemic. And without further ado, I would like to introduce you to Anita Telle. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's definitely our pleasure. So we would like to get into the topic at hand. So, Anita, what made you become a champion against the bullying epidemic?
Well, I was in corporate, and then I sold my business, and I adopted a beautiful little boy, and he had a cleft palate and a cleft lip. So I said to myself as a mom, what can I do to help my child? And because he was starting to get bullied at a pretty young age. And so I started writing children's books. I wrote a book named A Little Different, All Perfect, and then won the San Francisco Book Festival. It was the winner. And when that happened, the ball started rolling. And so I was going to schools and helping children and teaching children about anti-bullying messages. And parents were asking me, well, how come your son seems so confident? And can you help us and can you give us some pointers to help our children to feel more confident? So I decided to write the book, The Ultimate Anti-Bullying Solutions Guide. And that's kind of how it all started.
Wow. Yes. You know, it's amazing how one question can spark up a whole champion, you know. And so tell us more about the book, The Anti-Bullying Guide.
Well, what I decided, how it came to be was, like I said, parents were talking to me. And then I started really understanding that a lot of parents, they're having a really hard time with things that they can do. A lot of people know, well, we all do, we know that there's bullying going on, but what about solutions and how can we deal with it with our children so that we can give them bullet points almost every single day, well, absolutely every single day, talk to them when they come out of school, how was your day, talk to them when we get home. Communication is so important. Being aware of things that maybe took place at school, paying attention to their behavior and noticing if maybe something is going on and there's things that they need help with.
Okay, so what kind of signs would a parent be looking for if the child,
well,
let's say the child wouldn't be very vocal?
Well, oftentimes, most of the times, actually almost 50% of the time, the child does not tell their parents that they're being bullied. There is things that parents can look for. For instance, they're pretty obvious if it's physical bullying. You know, they'll come home and their backpack might be ripped. They might even have bruises so that you can see that something has happened to them. That's the easy kind of thing that you can see. However, when the child comes home and you notice that there's a change in their personality, when the only thing they want to do is to go to their room, they want to be kind of left alone, you notice that your happy little kid suddenly start getting a little bit more introvert. You're noticing that they don't want to do after-school activities, that they kind of run home from school or they are always they come home really quick. They don't want to do things, and they don't want to talk about it. And that's when you have to start probing. You have to start talking to them and try to make them tell you. A lot of times, unfortunately, the child is going to be really worried about telling a parent because they're worried about how the parent is going to react and how they are going to be dealing with it. And maybe the consequences of telling their parents will be that when they go to school, it can get worse for them because the bullying can get worse if parents get involved. That's what the child believes.
Okay, that's a good. Now, let's say we've had the child and they finally opened up. What are the key points that the parent should say to the child so that they don't lose them?
Well, first of all, one of the things that is very important that you do with your child, and your child is choosing at this time to open up and talk about it, is that when you go and you sit with them, make sure that you sit right next to them so that they can feel your presence and they can feel your love and that you really are, it's all about them. You know, there is no cell phone. There is no one is going to disturb you. You sit down there and you give them your 100% of your attention, and you sit down there and you talk to them. And you tell them, you know, we are a team. We're going to work on this together. I'm not going to jump in and take charge here without talking to you. And we're going to discuss this. We're going to make it as easy as possible for you and, you know, mom or dad or whoever. And we can role play the situations that you are faced with right now, and we can try to come up with some solutions so that when you're in school, you have some tools that you can work with. If that were not to work, you know, and you're still being bullied, then these are the other steps that we can do. We can go and talk to the principal. You just give them an idea of what the steps are that you're going to take, and the whole time make them understand and reinforce the fact that you guys are a team and you work together, and you're not going to just step in there, take charge, and just make their life miserable, which is a very big possibility if, you know, you don't involve your child. Role-playing is a very, very good thing to do, because what you do with that is that you will work with your child and you kind of become the bully. You know, the child can look at you and say, okay, mom, dad, or whatever, so now you guys are like Peter the bully. And so then the child can use his tools and talk to you, and then you can say, you know what, I think you're doing a good job right there, but what about if you change the sentences just a little bit here and we can do it this way? And then you help them, because it's very important that the child is allowed to be themselves. Because when they go to school, if you step in and you say, this is what you tell them and you do it this way, that might not be your child's personality. They have their own personality, their own way of communicating. So that's why that you guide them, you help them, and you make sure that they feel comfortable when they go to school and is faced with a bully.
That's some great advice, you know, on what to do if your child is being bullied. You know, what advice would you give to a mother who finds out their child is a bully?
That the child is the bully? Well, the same thing. The child is a bully because there is something missing in their life. And there is something there. A lot of people think that the bully is this person that has a certain look to them that kind of jumps out from the bushes and beats you up on your way home from school. 50% of the bullies are actually come across as pretty, you know, self-confident and kind of know who they are. But there is something missing in their life. So if a mom discovers that her child is the bully, same thing, sit down with them and talk to them and kind of ask them, you know, let's talk about why this is and why do you feel that you need to do this? Because now, say for instance a parent called them up and told them about this, or they heard it from the school. And then work with the child and also explain to the child kind of statistics too, actually, about, you know, the life of a bully is very, very difficult. The life of you know, I don't like to maybe call them bullies. We call them the child that does the bullying, because I don't want to attack their character. It's their behavior that we are looking at. And then explain to them the same thing. You know, we love you. Mom and Dad loves you. Because even a bully needs to be shown that they are loved. And then start with them and explain to them the consequences of the choices that are making. And try to help them to see that and see what they can do. And when they understand, they, you know, a lot of times their behavior change.
That is true. That is true. So now, since we're talking about the child that does the bullying, what kind of programs or things can the parent do to put them back on the right path?
There's all kinds of things they can do. If they start doing positive parenting, where what they're doing is they're paying attention to the things that the child is very good at. Maybe this child is very good at, I don't know, computer games. I'm just making it up. Whatever your child, whatever is the thing that your child is good at, really reinforce that with the child. Make them feel good about themselves and make them feel like they're doing something special. And then take that interest that that child has, say it, if it is video games or whatever, and then really encourage them to maybe take some classes, maybe have some after-school activities where you take your child and they're learning maybe, you know, some computer stuff, maybe even how to make computer games, and have classes and make them, too, feel really good about themselves and good about what they are able to do. And by that, I mean that when anybody that feels good about themselves and feel good about who they are as a person is not going to want to choose to go back to being bullied, being the bully. I would like to explain, to tell a little story really quick here about, you know, bullies, you know, the victim, and the bystanders. Bystanders, the ones that are watching this, if they were to step in, 50% of the bullying would not be happening. And a really cute story is this little girl. She was about, you know, 11 years old, a skinny little thing with glasses, and she's in school, and she's a very strong person. She has this belief in herself and who she is. Well, this young man just started their school. It was his first day at school. And what the kids did not know was that he was being brought into this school because he was bullied so severely at the other school that the parents made a choice to change schools and bring him in. So when he came to school, he said to himself, he said, you know what, I'm never going to be bullied again. I'm going to be the strong one, and I'm going to show them. So the first day he came to school, he just came in with the attitude of he's going to bully everybody around him because no one was going to ever get to him again because it hurt so bad. Well, this little girl was watching this, and she walked right up to him. She put her hand out like a policeman would put his hand out when he stops traffic, and she said, stop. We don't do that here. And he just looked at her, and his mouth kind of dropped, and he didn't really know what to say because he was like, wow. And he did not bully. He did not become the bully. He made a choice because of this one bystander that stepped in and said, stop, we don't do that around here. And so anyway, there is ways that, you know, we can work together as parents, as teachers, as coaches, to help our children, whoever they are, victims, bullies, or the bystanders.
That was a wonderful story. And, you know, you bring up a very important point. You know, we need to teach our children that they could play a part as a bystander as well. A lot of children are taught that, you know, if they're not involved, then they're not going to be a part, you know, they're not going to stop anything because it's not their fight. But we need to teach our children that, you know, it's okay to step in and help somebody out because they shouldn't want to watch somebody be, you know, in a bad position. What do you think?
Absolutely. And the thing that is very interesting is that we think that bystanders, that it doesn't affect them. But that's not the truth. The reality is that a bystander also goes home with anxieties about what they saw. Maybe this is going to be me next time. And they're really worried about how this is all going to kind of play out. So when they know and when parents talk to them about it and they teach them, do you know when you see that, you know, and things need to stop. And it's really interesting because if kids stick together like a team, and that's one of the things that I, you know, like to talk to the children about when I go, is that, you know, there's powers in sticking together and being together. There's powers in helping someone. There's power in, you know, in being a good example for someone. And like I said, a bystander has that power. But it is incorrect to think that watching this kind of violence, bullying, whether it's, you know, verbal or physical or whatever it is, that it doesn't affect them. But it really does. And there's many stories that I hear about kids coming home to their parents and they are just crying. They're crying at dinner because they saw someone being bullied and it really impacted them. And they feel so, they don't know what to do. They're just worried. And then they don't want to be the snitch that goes and talks to the teacher if the child that's being bullied doesn't go and talk to the teacher, or this child doesn't even tell his parents and nobody really knows. And a child has a really hard time with seeing someone else being hurt and being, you know, humiliated and constantly. The one thing that I wanted to make sure that people do understand about bullying versus a prank: bullying is when it's ongoing. It's something that happens, constantly happens to the child. They're always being bullied about whether, you know, they have glasses or their weight or what their hair, whatever it is that someone finds something to bully about. If there's someone that is different, someone will point it out. So they do this, but it's really important to understand that when they do get bullied like this, that and the bystanders are watching it, that they have the power, like I said before, to be able to, you know, to step in and do something about it. And we as parents have the power to step in and do something about it too.
Anita, if someone's listened to this call and, you know, I was bullied as a kid and I really want to make a difference and I want to really join this kind of really campaign against bullying, but I don't have a kid right now, is there a way that they can get involved? I know you have some projects going on. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for asking. Yes, one of the things that I decided when I started my kind of, like I call it, the grassroots movement, was that I said, what can I do? Because this is so important to me. It is so important to me that I just wish that I could be everywhere, to, you know, to help someone. And then I said, well, what can I do to bring people in to help me? And so I have my first book, A Little Different, All Perfect. The book is from, you know, from kindergarten, or actually younger than that, the stories, but from kindergarten to about third, fourth grade. And this book here was the winner of the San Francisco Book Festival. And children really enjoy it. It's a story about a little, you know, baby horse, and it's a cute little story. But what people can do, if they would like to help me, they can go to my webpage or send me an email. You know, it's anitatellett.com, and you can send me an email from there. And what I will do is I will send them a book for free. It's a soft cover book with a kind of like an agenda or bullet points that they should talk to the teachers about, call the teacher and ask, can I come in and read an anti-bullying book to your class, second, third grade, whatever class it is. And the teacher will say, well, of course, we would love to have you come in. And then when they get in there, they read the book, and then they talk to the children and ask the children, how do you feel about this? And the most amazing thing that happened to me when I started doing this is that the children are looking at you, and they are so open, and they go, wow, you know, I never really thought much about the words that I was choosing to use, and I'm not going to do that again. And when that happened, it just made me feel so happy, because I said to myself, my goodness, what about these children that I'm reading to right now, that they are learning something right here, so by the time they go to middle school, they will be nicer, and they will think twice about hurting someone else. And that just gave me this charge to just continue and to just go out there and really, really try to help people, help families, help children, teachers, to just do something about it, so that they have an opportunity to get my book for free.
Well, thank you, Anita. That's really generous. And, you know, it really shows us how passionate you are about your topic. And I know that this is the legacy you want to leave behind. You know, for someone who's listening tonight, and you know, a lot of people have the opinion, well, kids are just kids, and kids are say things, and, you know, as an adult, you get over it. And, you know, and I know myself that I was bullied as a child, and I think, Akina, you said yourself you were too. You know, why is it important? And maybe we can all contribute to this, since we've all had some experience with bullying, even on a personal level, you know, as to why it's important for someone to get involved.
Well, it is really important to get involved, and I think I got a little sidetracked earlier when I was talking about bully versus a prank. Being bullied is something that happens, ongoing. A prank is something that happens one time, or it can happen a few times. Say if someone goes over and puts some popcorn down your shirt or something like that, or messes up your hair. That's a prank, but bullying is something that's ongoing. And one of the things that it's kind of like a little warning that I would like to say, and that is that it's very important that we understand that the children that are being bullied, that are in schools today, that are being bullied, they hurt. They hurt really, really bad. And it's important for us as parents that maybe have a kid that is being, you know, have a prank, you know, done to them or something like that, that we don't go in and make a big go into the principal's office and demand that my child is being taken care of because it's being bullied. Because actually that's happening, where pranks are being looked at like bullying. And so then, again, say the strong parent that goes in and deals with it, now you deal with this right now, and the principal is going, okay, or the teacher is going, okay, well, let's deal with it, but it was just a little prank. And here is this child, and maybe it's the child that's being bullied, is falling through the cracks again, because, you know, schools only have so much, so many teachers or so many hours that they can help. So let's be really sensitive and really question our child and make sure that what is happening is that they are really being bullied and this is an ongoing thing. And if it is, deal with it. If it's a prank, then it's a prank. And we don't have to worry too much, you know, about that, because that being pranks are going to happen forever. That is just part of kind of growing up. But it's not okay, and it's not part of growing up to have to be constantly bullied. That is something extremely ugly, something that has to stop, because it has an effect on the child later on in life. It is something they carry with them. I had a situation here a few months ago. I met this beautiful lady, and she was 24 years old, and she was telling me that she had been bullied so much during her school years that she didn't even know what to do. And she told me, you know what, Anita? She said, I'm 24 years old, and she said, and I'm questioning my value. I'm questioning, am I a valuable person? Because she goes, I'm still having insecurities about it. And so it was just really tough and really hard to look at her. I just, you know, I gave her a big hug, and I told her, I said, you're beautiful just the way you are. And I said, let's talk about it. And we had a private conversation. We talked for quite a while about things that she can do. It's just, you know, about loving herself and really realizing that she is amazing, that we as human beings, we're amazing just the way we are. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're short, tall, skinny, fat, whatever you are, it doesn't matter. You are a wonderful person just the way you are, and we need to really enforce that in our kids so that they understand how special they are. Because when they understand how special they are, how wonderful they are, they start wanting to share that with others, and goodness and love and hope can grow. And it's just, it's so important. One of the things I teach children, as I say to them, I said, you know how a snowflake is so beautiful? And some of them have seen a snowflake, a lot of them hasn't, but some of them have, they've at least seen pictures of them. And I said, they're all unique, they're just that way, special, just the way you are. And you should just see their eyes, they just light up, and they're just like, wow. Because you have to really encourage them to know how wonderful and beautiful they are, because they all are. And we all, as human beings, have a right to have a wonderful life. And no one should be allowed to take that away from us.
Oh, wow. That was powerful. That was really powerful. You know, and I totally agree, you know, as a child, I was bullied to the point where I just stopped talking. I didn't believe anybody was interested in what I had to say. And my mother would always tell me, if you saw yourself through my eyes, you'd be totally different. And it took me until I was in my 30s to see it her way, because I was still back there when I was a child being told that I wasn't worth anything.
That's right.
You know, and so I totally applaud you for being a champion against bullying. Any child that we can save and doesn't have to go through that kind of pain and that type of anguish is, you know, above the moon and the stars. We really, really need to come together as a force, as a community, like we used to back in the day, and raise the children like a village and let them know that they're loved. I truly applaud your mission.
Thank
you. Absolutely.
And one of the...
Sorry, you know,
I just
want
to say,
you know, I just, I was also bullied as a child. And, you know, it's really interesting, Akina, that you say that you learned to see yourself the way your mother saw you. You know, for me, I learned to see myself the way God sees me. And for me, it was really in my mid-20s that I was able to release kind of the bullying as well. And, you know, it can be very harmful. And they say that when you're at a very young age is when you actually develop your beliefs about yourself. Some people suggest as early as, you know, your 5 to 7 years is when you're actually developing the limiting beliefs you'll have, or your ego self, all the way into adulthood. So, you know, but it can be corrected. And it's really important to know that if you're listening to this call and you were bullying, that you really do have the power to change that as well. And, you know, you don't have to internalize those effects anymore. And Akina and I are proof, too, that, you know, you really can actually make that change. But we do want to, you know, really thank you for what you're doing, because it was, it's amazing for, you know, if this helps anyone, if this helps children stop being bullied, it's really powerful and definitely a worthy cause.
Thank you. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you really quick is that when I grew up in Norway, and when I was about 10, 12 years old, I started having, in those days, pen pals all over the world. So I had pen pals in South Africa, in Malaysia, in England, and in Australia, all over the world. I had over 90 pen pals at one time. And what that taught me was that it doesn't matter where you live, what color skin you have, what accent you have, whatever it is, we can all get along. And so one of the things that I work really hard with the kids and stuff like that is to have them understand cultural differences, and that it's okay, that we don't have to fear, you know, that. Because one of the things that we find is that, you know, you can be bullied for all kinds of different reasons. All kinds of different reasons, where you come from, you know, your parents, whether they're divorced, whatever it is, there's a reason to bully you for anything. Like I said earlier, whether someone different, someone will point it out. And so it is really important that we as parents, because we are the mirror that the child sees themselves in. And so when we also, when we believe in ourselves, when we love ourselves, we, you know, we love our kids, but we also love ourselves, they see that. And a really interesting story, and something that I would like everybody to really pay attention to, is be careful with the negative self-talk. My son pointed this out to me, because I always told him, you know, honey, you just tell yourself, you know, and I told him, you know, these things about yourself, you're a winner, you're this, all these things. I even had a little poster that I wrote, you're a winner, that I glued right above his bed. So he woke up in the morning, he looked up and he saw that, the first thing he saw when he got out of bed. Well, I was, by habit, I would say sometimes, say if I, you know, I missed an exit, or I did something that, you know, screwed something up when I was, you know, cooking or whatever, say, how silly of me, or something like that. And this little guy comes over to me, he goes, Mom, please stop. And I said, what? And he goes, you told me not to do negative self-talk. You please stop, don't do any negative self-talk, you too. And it was just like, wow. And then I started being really aware of the words that I'm talking when I talk about myself. Because you, as a parent, are really worthy of having your own time and your private time and your personal time and doing your things. You don't have to always feel like you have to be there constantly because, you know, for the children all the time, and you can't take a break to go outside and, you know, smell the roses. It is okay for you to have your time too, and the child will see that in you, and they will say, hey, it's okay for mom to do this, it's okay for me to do this, and they start learning from your behavior. So also be very aware of the words that you're choosing when you're watching a TV show or you're hearing something on the radio. Be very careful with the words that you're choosing to express your feelings about something, because these little ears that are sitting next to you, they're hearing everything you're saying. Even if they're playing their video games right next to you, they know exactly what's going on. So let's be really aware of that as parents, and pay attention to how we come across, you know, to our children and the value system that we have, because we cannot expect our kids to be little angels and do everything perfect and never get into any trouble if they don't see that we choose to live our way that way too.
Yes, yes. Well, as we're about to close, can you give any parting words to our audience about bullying?
What I want to say is that we, if starting a grassroots movement, there are so many people that are really aware of this. There is, you know, a lot of, like, all kinds of people, movie stars, whatever, are really trying to help out with this. You can find a lot of information on bullying, even by just going to the internet. My book, the Anti-Bullying Solutions Guide, you can go on Amazon and find it there. You can read up on some of the reviews. I'm very proud of the reviews that I have. It has helped a lot of people. And I would just like to say that it can be overcome. There's a lot of things we can do. We can look at this and we can take charge. We can work together as parents, as teachers, and really stick together to help our children, wanting to go to school, instead of really dreading it. 160,000 children doesn't go to school every single day in the United States because of bullying. And we can make a difference. We can change it. I would love to hear from anybody at anitatelle.com. That's anitatelle.com. And I just, I know we can do it. We really need to believe we can, and we will accomplish it.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Anita. It was a great topic, and we had a wonderful time speaking with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank
now,
you.
If you were Now, if you were touched by anything that Anita said today, find her show on changeyourmindsonline.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, Tuned In, and SoundCloud. Well, we want to end the call with we love you, and we are looking forward to speaking to you again on the Thursday Empowering Women series. Thank you so much again, Anita, for being our wonderful guest, and we look forward
Thank
to
you.
Wonderful things for you in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anita. Have a great night, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.